Good afternoon. Hi, my name is Justin Michael. I'm part of the Hoboken Grace speaking team, and I am so thrilled to be down here at 301 Garden with my downtown peeps. Great to see you all. I'm so thrilled to be here. And I just want to echo what Cindy said. If this is your first week with us, we are thrilled that you're here. We're honored that you're choosing to spend this time with us this afternoon, and we hope you make yourself right at home. You've caught us at a great time. We're in the middle of this amazing series. We're talking through something called spiritual gifts. We're discovering that we have a spiritual gift. Each of us have been gifted. And it's a gift that's an amazing gift. It's a supernatural gift. It's a spiritual gift. We're not talking about talents and abilities, but we're talking about something that God does in us when he places his spirit inside of us, when he comes and is part of us. And that our spiritual gift is not about us, it's not about us individually, but instead it's about all of us collectively, together, each celebrating each gift, each finding each gift's necessity, each gift's purpose, together. And this week we're going to talk more about our spiritual gifts, and we're going to try to figure out how do we find our spiritual gift? How do we know what it is? And for some of you, you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, I have a spiritual gift. I didn't know that. What is it? What does it mean? What is it like? Can I return it for store credit? But Paul, this man Paul, wrote a letter to the Corinthians. Now, the Corinthians were a body of people who were following Jesus Christ who lived in the city of Corinth, which was part of the Roman Empire. And he wrote them a letter, and in part of it he says this. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. And so we're all in the midst of this conversation. We're trying to figure out, what is my spiritual gift? What is it? How will I know? How will I know? Maybe you know somebody who said, you know what, I do know what my spiritual gift is. I already know what it is. How would you respond to that question, to that statement? If someone said, yep, I know what mine is. How do you know? Because I want to know. How do you know? What is it that you know that I don't know? How did you find out? You might ask questions like, well, when do you see God at work through that spiritual gift? When do you see God using you in your spiritual gift? What does it look like? And so we come up with strategies like, how can we know? Well, one strategy you might find is you might decide that you're going to take a spiritual gifts test. Because, frankly, we love tests. We do. I know I just lost the whole Stevens crowd. They're like, I'm done for the summer, and I'm not taking another test. That's not true. And whether it's because we've just been taking tests our whole lives, school is all about tests, and all the drama and the tension and the attention gets put on taking tests. We take tests. Maybe we take tests for certifications. Maybe we take tests for our professional organizations. But I'll be honest with you, we're still taking tests. We are. We love them. We do. Some of you are careful to take a test every day. You get the crossword. Right? Isn't the crossword just a test that says, okay, can you find just the right word that fits in this space that has this kind of unusual clue? That's what it is. It's a test. And I don't know where you are in your crossword. You know, if you're AM New York, you know that's kind of the easy one. And then Metro is a little bit more difficult, right? And then let's not even talk about the New York Times, right? It just gets progressively harder and harder. I personally don't find tests to be all, crossword puzzles to be all that challenging. I don't, because you know what? I can just usually find three or four words that would fit in that space. I mean, I'm not really great at spelling, so sometimes I have to be a little creative in order to make all the words fit, but you know, it's close, it's close. I know Susie's here, she's going, yeah, she's nodding her head because she's seen my creative spelling when we play Scrabble. But we do, we love tests, we do. We take them all the time. You know, magazines actually sell themselves. There are some magazines that are known for, they put the test on the cover so that you'll buy it, right? They know, hey, if I put this test on the cover, they're more likely to buy it than if I don't tell them what the test is. And we don't even need magazines. We do them online, Facebook, BuzzFeed, Come on, we could spend hours taking tests finding out which Star Wars character you are. You can find out who your pop star best friend is, which is great because I've never even met them. I saw this one that I had to take. I found out what Mickey Mouse ears I am. I know Nick, and I just had to take that test and find out which one am I. And then, of course, we all have taken the Disney princess test, right? We've all taken that test. I discovered that I'm Belle from Beauty and the Beast, which, I'll be honest with you, I'm okay with that. Yeah. I know somebody who took that test and like, no, I don't like that answer. I'm taking it over. Restart the quiz so I could take it again because I didn't like which one I got. And that's true. When we take a test, we can game it a little bit. You know, we can take it over if we don't like the answer. So we take tests because we like to, but really, do we really use them? I mean, I'm not dissing tests, right? I give out my fair share of tests, you know, love language tests and Myers-Briggs personality tests. I'm not dissing them. Pop quizzes, now those are just evil, right? Let's all agree on that. Pop quizzes are evil. But when can we really use a test to help us find our spiritual gift? Can we really use that? I think that the passage is going to tell us something about that. If we look in verse 6, it says this. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. Because let's be frank, when we take a test, it's kind of up to us. It's kind of up to me to figure out the answers. It's up to me to figure it out. But that's not what we're finding about spiritual gifts. It's about God. It's about God at work in our lives. It's about God and what he's doing through us. It's about his spirit. It's inside of us, and it's working through us. So how can it be about me? How can it be about my ability to figure it out when it's God who's at work? You know, we love the idea that we can just take a spiritual gifts test because then we don't have to rely on anybody else. We can figure it out. We love that individualism that we can depend on because we're only depending upon ourselves. But I'll be honest with you, it sounds to me like it's a burden. Something I have to figure out. It sounds like something I have to do, and frankly, I'm not sure I'm up to the challenge. Can I really do it on my own? And God is saying, no. No, I'm at work in your life. So if we don't just figure it out, and if we're not going to take a test about it, what does God say? How can we find our spiritual gift? There are more clues in the passage. In verse 7, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Now, here's a great clue. If you want to find out your spiritual gift, let's find out what your spiritual gift is for. Let's find out its purpose. And what is its purpose? It's so we can help each other. The spiritual gift is given to us so we can help each other. So we can help each other on this incredible mission. This mission that God has been telling since the very beginning of time, that he loves, and that he's pursuing you. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing you. And you. That he's pursuing us because we matter to him. That is the purpose of our gift, to be on this mission communicating in what we do and in who we are, that God is pursuing you because you matter to him. And knowing its purpose is a huge part of us understanding our spiritual gifts. Do you know what this is? Can you put a picture up there for me? Thank you. Do you know what this is? Anybody? You have one. I'll bet you do. I tell you what. I have $50. If anybody can tell me what that is. Guesses? What is it? From a nail clipper. Exactly. Here's your $50. Come on. Okay, but the rest of you, did you know what that was? I hear a yes over here. I have to get another 50. The reason why we had trouble identifying it is because it's not with the rest of it. It's not part of the rest of it. It's separated. It's alone. It's disconnected. And what God is saying to us is, you're not designed to do this alone. You're not designed to find your purpose alone. You're designed to do it with. You're designed to do it with the family. In verse 18, he says this. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. It's in our connection to and interaction with the rest of the body in which we can really clearly see ourselves and in which we can find how we fit, how we connect in, how we can find our spiritual gift. One of the hardest times of my life ever has been in those moments when I've been alone. Before I discovered that God loved me, before I knew that, when I was alone, it would fill me with so much despair, I wanted to die. We're not designed to be alone. We're designed to be part of this family, together. Some of you are standing on the wings. Some of you are just not engaging the family, this family of God, this family that we are together. You're sort of holding us off at arm's length. But you're designed to be part of this family, to be part of what was going on, be part of this mission. Because to stand there and to say to yourself week after week, what is my spiritual gift? To keep asking yourself that question week after week, it's got to be a rough thing to do. To not know and to have it feel like it depends on you. And God says, no, that's not how we figure it out. We figure it out together as part of the body. Because you're not designed to do this alone. And as you're not doing this alone, there's a couple of specific ways in which I think we need to engage the body. There's a couple of specific things that we're going to do in order to help us find our spiritual gifts. One of them is find a place to serve and start serving. Find a need and fill it. And a lot of times when we think about, okay, we're finding my need, I'm going to figure out where I fit. And that, honestly, that just takes us back to this individualism again. This back to this thing where it depends on me to figure out where I fit. But that's not how it works. No, instead, just find a need and fill it. Just overwhelm the setup team. Overwhelm the kids' ministry. You're not designed to do it alone. Ask somebody in your dinner group, which team are you on? Can I come and serve with you? Try it out. Find a place and fill the need. Rather than trying to figure it out, like, where do I fit best? When I first started to follow Jesus Christ, I belonged to a church family, and I was in a dinner group. And my dinner group leader thought that I could maybe help Terry and that Terry could help me. He was trying to set us up. So he said, well, you know what? Terry is part of the high school ministry. Why don't you, Justin, go help Terry in the high school ministry? And I thought to myself, I don't know. I don't know what if I have anything to offer those kids. I don't know if I'm going to have anything in common with those kids. What if I fail? What if they don't like me? All these questions, again, are all about me and all about my evaluation of myself. And he said, no, just go help her. Just go help. So I did. I said, sure, I can go help. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I can go help. But I didn't do it alone. I did it with her. She was there. And you'll find that if you just find a ministry that you're going to step in and help, that there'll be people there with you. And you don't have to worry about whether or not you feel inadequate, whether or not you feel like you're incapable. because there'll be people there with you who are working with you on it. You're not going to do it alone. The other thing I like about the fact that you're not going to do it alone is one of the reasons why you're not going to do it alone is because God's Spirit is inside of us. That's why we have spiritual gifts, because His presence is in us. And when we go and try something out that we've never done before, He's going to be there with us. He's there inside of us. He's inside of them. Who else is on the team? And together we'll meet God there. He's already there. You know where else He's not? Why we're not going to be alone when we start this up? It's because He's already at work there. It's not like He's off in the shadows and we have to bring Him into the situation. He's already at work in the situation. He already cares about those people. He is already caring about them and loving them and making a place for you to fit in. So when we go and we try out that ministry, we're not alone. We have the team. We have God within us, and God who's already at work in that team. He's already at work in that situation. So we just start. The other thing that we need to do as we get started is we need to ask questions of our leader and of the other people in us, in the team. We ask these two really important questions. The questions are, what have you seen me do that is spiritually significant? And how is what I'm doing having an impact? And we just ask those questions of the leaders and the people on the team. Now, some of you are saying, oh, wait, Justin. Last week we talked, it's not about what you think, and it's not about what I think. It's about what God has done, right? And I'm really glad you asked that question, because while the distinction is not a subtle one, it's an important one. And the distinction is this, that when it comes to my identity and it comes to my value, I'm definitely clinging to what Jesus Christ has done for me. That's where I find my value. That's where I find my identity. But that doesn't mean we don't need people in our lives helping us to see how God is working in our hearts, how God is working in us and through us. Sometimes we underestimate what God wants to do in us and through us. And we need somebody to help point it out. We need somebody to have that conversation with us and say, you know what? When you serve in the kids team, something amazing happens. Those kids, they get that God loves them. And it's more than you like the kids and they like you. It's more than your ability or talent in the area. But something amazing happens between you and those kids, and they really connect. Or a conversation like, hey, you know what? When you are hospitable and when I'm hospitable, it's something different. When you're hospitable, people really feel that God loves them. People really feel that God is providing for them, that God is taking care of them. There's something amazing that happens when you exercise your gift of hospitality. Something that I can't explain unless it's God at work through you. Unless it's God who's doing that in their lives. Something happens when I lead and you lead. Something different happens. And when you lead, something spiritual, something supernatural, something amazing happens in the life of our church. Something amazing happens. We see this actually in the relationship between Paul, the guy who wrote this letter to the Corinthians, and a guy named Timothy, who was a pastor in another church. Paul wrote Timothy a couple of letters to encourage him. He wrote this. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. And that's why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Paul is saying, hey, I know you have a spiritual gift, and I want to encourage you in it. I can see God at work in your life, and I can see love and power and self-discipline, and I want to encourage you to fan it into flames, to keep trying, to let that well up within you and spill out on the people around you. We need that encouragement to be part of the team. We need that encouragement from the leaders in our team to help us to see how God is using us in the lives of the people around us. To ask those two questions: what have you seen me do that is spiritually significant? How have you seen me impact people's lives? Because when Paul used his gift, it strengthened people. And when you use your gift, it strengthens us. It builds us up. It helps us on this mission. Now, some of you are still hesitating. You're still hesitating because you think to yourself, well, what if it's not the right team for me? Well, I'll be stuck there. And no, the answer is no. The team is not necessarily going to be there. And once you start serving there, you're there. We want you to do something what we call a first serve. Just go try it out. No strings attached. Just go try it out. See what happens. You know, how many of you were finicky eaters when you were kids? Come on, be honest. How many of you were finicky eaters? I was finicky. My parents laugh about how bad I was. I remember once when I was 8 or 9. Hey, some of you are saying, no, I'm not a finicky eater, but I'm living with someone who does. Anyway, when I was about 8 or 9, my friend's mother offered me strawberry shortcake. Strawberry shortcake. I'd never heard of strawberry shortcake. I didn't know what it entailed. I didn't know what it would mean. So I turned her down. I turned down sponge cake, like drenched in sweetened strawberries and smothered with whipped cream. That's what I turned down. Something amazing. Why? Because I didn't know what it would mean. I didn't know what it would entail. But that's okay, because you're not doing it alone. You can find out what it means and what it will entail with the people you're with. Others of you are hesitating because you just don't want to be stuck there. I can relate to that, because when I was in that high school ministry, one day the kids and I, we were playing ball tag. And so as the kid runs by me, I say, hey, you know what? Get up here on the roof and you can hide from the ball guy who's in with ball tag. So I literally lifted this 12-year-old over my head and placed him on the roof as a place where he could hide. It wasn't very long after that that the leadership thought there might be a better place for me to serve. I learned definitely that helping kids play on the roof is frowned upon. But that's the great thing about trying something out. You try it out, you can find out whether you fit or not. You can try it out and find out, what is my spiritual gift and how does it play out in this setting? You don't have to worry that you've got to figure it all out beforehand. You don't have to hesitate because you feel like you have to do it alone. You don't have to figure it out on your own. We're going to be there with you. God's going to be there with you. God's already at work in there. You don't have to do this journey alone. It's not a journey you were designed to do alone. And it's not an ordinary journey. It's an extraordinary journey with this incredible opportunity to see what God can do through us to change the world. Will you pray with me? Father, I'm forever grateful that you don't leave us alone. I'm forever grateful that you pursue us and that you're trying to communicate this message of love. I'm grateful that you want us to be part of what you're doing, that you're including us in what's going on in the world around us, that you're including us in this amazing collection, this amazing family, these my brothers and sisters that you've brought from all over to be part of what you're doing here in Hoboken. And I pray that you help us to have that courage to take that first step, to just try something. Help us to just take a step. Help us to take that first step. You're amazing. We can't wait to meet you there in the midst of it. We love you, and we'll talk to you again soon. Amen.